So imagine you are just in an assembly where the gifts of the Spirit is so dry. No laughing, no trumpet, no dancing in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Nothing, nothing. Amen. Ah, mama. Ah, like torture. Hallelujah. So our soteriology is what is pneumatology. And finally, our pneumatology is ecclesiology. God gives us a spirit so that it can belong to a what? A family. A local church. In the local church, we are all born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are in the family of God. You know, church is from the word
okay. So pneumatology is our
ecclesiology. Our pneumatology is our ecclesiology. I'm looking for one book. Our pneumatology is our ecclesiology. So, God saves us. He gives us the Spirit so that he can be a part of a family. So, in this this is a family now. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It says that he's not ashamed to call us brothers. Adolphus. So, Emmanuel is the brother of Savior. Of course, not physically, but we are from the same origin. Hallelujah. That's why it's strange. You know, I say you found a wife, but she's wearing a hijab. It's a wifey, you saw. Yeah, taking the gospel. I think one of the things I should say, I won't forget, is that don't disciple people with that kind of motive. It's dishonest. What's the motive? You have an end goal. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, Tega now. Tega is my sister. So, I'm not standing Tega because in the future, Tega will say yes to me. So, of course, desire happens during the process of discipleship, you make it clear to the person that I also think. But don't start the discipleship. Do you understand what I'm saying? On that basis, it's dishonest. Like, I would get the person say, you know, the person likes you. And the reason why the person allows you to come to that is because the person is liking you. He likes you. Is the reason I say, when I'm coming, if it's probably a sister to a brother, or probably a sister to a brother, is the reason I tell another brother that, see, his brother's already giving me face. Let's be alternating this thing. One day I'll go, you will go, so that you know that there's nothing in it. You'll be picking his call. You'll call him by level. Hey, discipler. The disciple asks the discipler, have you eaten?
It's scary.
The disciple asks the disciple, what did you eat? The disciple says, I ate cereal. Oh, that's so cute.
Cereal.
Cereal. When I say, oh, okay, the disciples tell the disciples, I'm actually thinking we can actually go to Mr. Beach. You know, every time you always come to my place, and say, God. And if you just accept, that's the story. So, it's in ecclesiology, we'll see, even having our families in the natural, building a family life, I still reflect what we have in the spirit. Again, Paul mentioned husband of a wife, he mentions Christ and the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Relationship. So our family life still, of course, I'm not saying you cannot be Muslim, but I'm saying, and of course, you now have life now. Amen. Mm.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
What? Anything stronger than the leading of the Spirit? Not too strong. If somebody say, you see, I led to a person wearing a hijab. Part of a family. So again, let's start again. Our theology is what? Christology. Our Christology is soteriology. Our soteriology is what?
Pneumatology.
Our pneumatology is what? Ecclesiology. There are other things that I removed. I didn't mention bibliology. Bibliology is the study of the Bible and the book of the Bible. Praise the Lord. I think we did that once. We did the book of Jonah.
Yes,
you guys can remember.
Yes.
We did the book of Jonah. Cell leaders. Yeah, I remember training. And we did the book of Jonah. Wait there. You guys are smiling. We're not there. But still a baby. Yeah, it's not that far. I didn't mention angelology or something. Study of angels. There's demonology too. I'm studying of things. But again, we categorize them under angelology. Because of course, I think we mentioned together that demons are also angels, which means that they are not omniscient, they are not omnipresent, and they are not omnipotent. The only person that is God. I think we mentioned that before, that angels also have hierarchies in the spirit. Of course, we'll see that, because you see that Prince of Persia, narrative. We've seen that before now. The narrative, yeah, Daniel's time, and they had to send a stronger angel. So that means that angels have hierarchies in the spirit. Praise the Lord. And of course, it's not your own to know the names of angel, or to know the hierarchy, his first position or second position. Your own is that angels are ministering spirits, and they're ministering spirits to those who have been sent to the ears of salvation. So that means angels respond to my words. I think you should say it a lot often. They do. Hallelujah. Angels respond to my words. Hallelujah. And you know, the more you say, the more you see supernaturally angelic activities in your life. Angels respond to my words. I'm not helpless. Angels respond to my words. Angels respond to my words. You know, we're not spooky. I'm saying, angel, turn on this light. You know, we're not saying that. But the angels do. Hallelujah. Of course, there is that. There's also eschatology. Eschatology is the study of last days, events, rapture. What will happen in rapture? Hell, heaven, and what will happen at the final earth? You know, when is Jesus Christ coming back again? You know, of course, oh, you're checking his charge, he's charging. I want to do something. So, number one, our theology is what? Christology. Our Christology is what?
Soteriology.
Our soteriology is what? Pneumatology. Our pneumatology is what? Ecclesiology. So it's in ecclesiology we are going to learn a lot of things like Christian relationships, how to handle a hearing brother. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, all these things I do are still gist in a bit.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Still gist in a bit. This is just gist. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul mentions, of course, there was a man who was sleeping with his father's wife. But that was not the problem. The problem was that, of course, that's a problem. Amen. Don't do that. Don't fire you if you do it. But the problem was that he was bringing her to service. And they were having Holy Ghost meetings. Do you understand? He was bringing her to service. You're bringing your father's wife to service. Both of you are now when I go. And you're both giving yourself what? Shabba, baba, baba. She's not saying baba, raba. And both of you are both responding. And so Paul is saying they were behaving like people that didn't have order. So they were treating Corinth like Sodom and Gomorrah, a city that doesn't have order. The problem with Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't that it was just anyhow, it was because there was no order. That's like the Genesis 1-2 narrative was void, like no order. So God sending forth fire to clear out whatever happened there is God doing what is called righteousness. Order is bringing things back into order. That's what I'm saying.
So
our question is not even, was it God that sent that fire? I don't know. Let God send that fire to your own house. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. But there was no order. And that was the problem with the church at Corinth. So Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul also addressed ecclesiology. He asked the question that can a man touch a woman? Of course, he's not saying touch like this. You understand the meaning of touch? Touch means to have sexual... And the problem was because the Corinth guys were already married before they got saved. So there were a lot of arguments that... Are you now telling us now that because everything has become new, our marriage is also null and void? So Paul is answering, of course not. Marriage is social cultural culture. You understand? It's social cultural. So it doesn't mean that when you are a new creation, that's why Paul was mentioned that if you are already married to an unbelieving husband, it wasn't given an endorsement to get married an unbelieving husband. Rather saying probably you got saved, your husband wasn't saved, but you guys are married. He says if your husband wants to stay, of course, let him stay. He says your children are sanctified. When he says sanctified, he's not saying they are sanctified in Christ. He's saying that you can now save them by the reason of you being saved. Do you understand? It's not saying when you give us children, God. So imagine I have a wife now. My wife is also a Christian. Our children doesn't need to be born again. Is that what you're saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand, guys? You also mentioned things like sex. You mentioned that. Of course, it's a marriage duty. He mentions that. He says, of course, it's a marriage duty. I will learn something. He says, of course, it's a marriage duty. He says, except you guys guys now both determine when you guys are fasting and praying. He says, but let everybody feel each other's what's it called, responsibility. So again, Paul is explaining what ecclesiology. Are we learning something? How to conduct yourself. In 1 Corinthians 8, he also mentions that some people believe that they are idols in this world. He says, but to us, we know that an idol is nothing in this world. There's only one Lord, who is our Father, and Jesus, who is the Son. He says, however, if somebody now sees you with a weak conscience in a temple's idol, eating food offered to idol, won't his conscience be defiled? He now says, if because of my conduct, another person who has a weak conscience is going to start doubting. He says, I'm now sinning against Christ. Because both of us, we are now brothers. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are now in a union. We are now in a family. So whatever, if Jesus is our brother and we're all linked together, it's like, whatever you do to B, you've done it to what? A. So Paul is saying, if you sin against this brother, what you have done is that you have sinned against to Christ. He's not saying you should pretend, but of course, there are some people whose consciences are not strong. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people, this is not an endorsement you should listen to bad song. I'm not saying you should. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But even the national anthem we are singing is not spiritual. It's secular, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Exactly now. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't see secular music, but you sing the national anthem. What's that? Bad days of Munga. But of course, there are people whose consciences can't take that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Exactly. So Paul is saying, the reason why you won't do some things is because in God's family, not all of us are the same persons. Not all of us have the same mind. Conscience, understanding, knowledge. What me, I will see as not a sin, you will see it now and say, is a sin. So that I will not be the one to do anything to you. Exactly. But I'm not even talking about lesbianism and gayism. That one is a sin.
It's a sin.
I'm going to hell fire.
Very.
So he mentions that. In 1 Corinthians 10, say somebody beats you to come for a party and you are free. He says, go for it. Of course. You know the kind of party now. It's not the one you're shaking, but more. It's of course. A hangout, a stuff. Of course, go for it if you have the time. But he says you have to be careful to ensure that you are not defiling another person's conscience. In 1 Corinthians 11, he mentions that should a woman cover her head? This is of course. And then she will eat communion. Whatever. But he says that what brings us together fundamentally for us is what? God's Spirit. So because God's Spirit brings us together, we are now in the family of God. So I have to be careful. So that's what I'm saying. Careful of my utterances. Careful of what I say. Careful of what I do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Careful of what I say. Do you understand? There are some jokes that me I can quote here. But probably if I'm a fellowship school, I'll probably not say Kim Kardashian. I do not think that I'm too worthy. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know what is it dear not to like.
Kim Kardashian.
You see how I shout is the glory of God.
Yeah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Some people say no. They don't like a star. But you look at the star and you call it wondrous.
Nice.
Some people in their mind, as they are playing that song where they are walking around. They're already omniscient in their mind. God is seeing what you are doing in your hands.
Hallelujah.
So, have we learned something so far? So, today we are going to basically be doing talking on Christology, which is the study of Christ through the scriptures. So, I'm going to be answering the following questions. Number one, what is Christology? Number one, what is Christology? What is Christology? Is it a tongue? Was an interpretation. Number two, what exactly did Jesus do on the road to Emmaus? You guys still quote this Luke 24?
Yes, sir.
We overused that text.
What did Jesus do?
On the road to Emmaus. You can you guys remember true worship we saw every Friday? Can you guys remember?
Yes, I remember.
True worship. Since according to scriptures that he was buried and that he rose again to them. Now the gospel is not complete unless you mention the fact that he was raised from the dead. Do you understand? Yes. The next one, what does sin really cause? What does sin really cause? Because God told them that the moment you eat of this fruit, the Hebrew says, in dying you shall die. So the end of the fruit, what really happened? The next one is a theophany or an incarnation. Theophany is pronounced, spelled T-H-E-O-P-H-A-N-Y.
T-H-E-O.
Yeah, theophany. Or an incarnation. Next one is, what is the name of Jesus?
Oloruka Akwerire Jesu. Sorry, I'm going to ask. It's a son of man can have a place to rest his head when he gets back to campus.
Checking through the creed, like Assassin's Creed, which will lead us to a question Paul asked. Now, Romans chapter 14, let's start. Romans chapter 14, now this is not starting, this is still like just again. Romans 14, verse 10. Theophany and incarnation, what is the name of Jesus? Checking through the creeds. This afternoon, you are going to be really shocked and surprised on what people actually believe about Jesus and what you also must have believed about Jesus. I'm going to be looking at, I think I've mentioned Calvinism before. Arminianism. I'm going to look at more concepts today. It's important that you know who Jesus really is. It helps you to worship him much better. For example, if you don't know who I am, now you think that I'm probably wicked or something. Right? But I'm not. Do you understand what I'm saying? So by just looking at someone, you cannot really
like I'm referring to what you're saying now. Like, I'm not
I have the nature of my father.
God is the character of custom.
So someone can just see you now, or imagine somebody calls me very in the morning. Imagine I just woke up and say hello. I bet you just think that my voice is always that deep every morning, but it's not. Do you understand? So you have to know me, and for you to know me, we have to have an interaction. Do you understand? Know who I am, know what I study, know what I like. Of course, know what I don't like, because we're human beings. Of course, do you like everything? Eh? You don't now. So we have principles that we live by. So for us to be able to, you know, end up with this sort of Christology, this is our studies to know who Christ is. So it helps your study and helps your prayers. Hallelujah. I remember at Romans 14:10. It says, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the word, the judgment seat of Christ. So look at where we are starting from. It says that, why do you judge your brother? Now, again, why do you judge your brother? It says, why do you show contempt for your brother? For you shall all stand before what? The judgment seat. Why did Paul say this? Now, it is clear that the book of Romans actually has two audiences. It has the Jews and the Gentiles. Look at Romans 1:17. We'll spend a bit of time here. Romans 1:17, it says, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the word, the just shall what? Live by faith. Now look at verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the word, the Jew first, and also to the word, the Greek. So the book of Romans has two audiences. Who are they? The Jews and the Greeks. Now, let me ask you a question. Savior, are you a Jew?
Yes.
When did that happen?
Romans was speaking to his voice.
I shall not take you boy. When I'm listening. Hallelujah. But of course, when Paul writes Romans 1:16 to the Jews and to the Gentiles, you are not there. So he's referring to, when he says Jews and Gentiles, of course, when he makes that dichotomy, is he making that, is it a spiritual dichotomy or a physical dichotomy?
Physical.
You know why it's physical? Because of course, if the Greeks are in the church, the moment the Greeks are in the church, are they still Greeks? They are now, do you understand what I'm saying? Spiritually, they are now Jews. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are now in the family of God. But once he makes the dichotomy to the Jew first, and to the Greek, that means he's referring to their physical origin. So the church, the Roman church, or the church of the Romans, one more time.